We are live.
Amp Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the party has just begun.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
Yeah, okay. You got
mind. You ain't gonna do nothing. Let's bang, bro.
Did you know me?
Move along, nothing to see here.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. All the hits being played in this intro. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. We're closing in on 400 shows, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll get into that probably two shows later. I'm very excited. We are here tonight to do hashtag SmackMyPicksUp, hashtag DownWithThePickness, Amp Radio's Picks Show for UFC Fight Night, Volkan versus Smith. Our boy is back in action, Anthony Smith. Yeah, you know me. We've been on the train for a while. Also known as hashtag UFC 138 will be held on October 27th, 2018, at the Avenir Center in Moncton. Beautiful Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. If I messed up that in the name of the center, I do apologize. I'm very excited for this card because this, in my opinion, DJ Tony is the biggest test of Anthony Smith's career. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. I am joined by the usual cast of characters, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. And let's go ahead and bring them straight in, because we don't have time to waste. What we're going to do this evening, we're going to cover the main event, because, of course, Anthony Smith, our boy, is dropping down Volkan Vozdemir. I still didn't say it right. And what we're going to do is we're all going to have a spotlight fight of the night. That way, the winner will be clear. And, of course, if you were tuning in last 2 weeks ago, you know that what we do on this show is we tally up everybody's and round, and we see who the winner is. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get to that later. But let's go ahead and bring in the life of the party herself. I'm sure she's been on the beach in her office somewhere. I haven't seen any pictures, but maybe she's keeping that to herself. Let's go and bring her in now. If you didn't love her and you don't know her and you don't love her, you will, because she's the best. Let's bring her in, DJ Tony. Drop that music. Pam from North Carolina.
Hey, guys, what's going on? No, BD hit just because it's been cold. It's been, like, chilly, chilly. And yeah. FYI, it's the Pam and Sam show. Thank you.
Oh, did I say it wrong?
Very much. You did. Only because P before S, you know. Or you know, like, if you wanted to combine us, we'd be Spam. Get it?
Spamula.
Spamula,
oh,
yeah. Or Spamantha. Samantha.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. What's going on? I missed y'all for a week. I missed you, and I didn't
did
miss
you. Really?
I mean, I missed talking to y'all. Yeah, I missed talking to y'all, but I was able to do some stuff here around the house. I was, like, doing domestic stuff. Like, I was working on a quilt, and I've been baking a bunch of biscuits and just cooking and stuff like that. So, studying tonight? Mm.
The people have spoken. And they really want us to weigh in on some of the news and notes. So that's why we kind of put the kibosh on going too far into this card, because there's a lot of news. Tonight, we have to move swiftly. So let's go and bring in the boss man himself, putting out the tremendous MMA Minute. We try to do it every day in prime time. Let's bring him in, the boss himself, as I mentioned, DJ Tony. It's Tony time, bitches.
It's Tony time, bitches.
Let's do it.
Proteus, I know we're not doing it yet, Tammy, but shout out to Andy Wynn. Andy the Crazian One. Shout out to her. And if you haven't seen that,
yes,
hashtag lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, she's been spreading it like butter all over her social media, that MMA Minute. I'm appreciative.
I'm done.
Shout out to the shout out to the lightsaber. Hashtag cue the music. Let's bring in the star of the show himself, deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Marco from Winterroar Produce. As the resident Canadian in this show, you should know exactly how the hell you pronounce the name of that city in Canada where the final is tonight, because I can't pronounce it for shit. You got no excuses, man. No excuses.
Moncton. Moncton. It's Moncton, New Brunswick. I have no problem with the city that it's in. I have a problem with the center that it's in. It's Avenir. I'm not sure because it's, you know, Moncton, New Brunswick has a French influence. So I'm not sure if it has an Avenir, you know, I'm not sure if what it is. So lay off.
Let's talk MMA.
Absolutely. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm scared.
You should be scared. All right, ladies and gentlemen, to the light heavyweight division we go. Number 2, Volkov, No Time Ozdemir versus number 10, Anthony the Lionheart Smith. Friend of the show, absolutely. Volkov Ozdemir is fighting out of Switzerland. He has a record of 15-2-0. Anthony Smith, fighting out of the United States of America, 30-13-0. All right, guys, as I mentioned earlier
is... Before we start, I'm going to, right now, put in my veto power, anyone on this show that vote against a friend of the show, Anthony Lionheart Smith, is going to be banned. You are prohibited from voting against Anthony Lionheart Smith. I have spoken.
All right. let me give you guys the updated odds right now from Five Dimes, and then we'll throw to Pam to start off that show because we know, ladies first. At this particular time, as we record on Thursday, October 25th at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Time, Anthony Smith is at a plus 150, and Volkov Ozdemir is at a minus 170. DJ Tony, the odds have changed from last night drastically. Pam, what you got?
I think this is going to be a good fight. On paper, it looks really good. They're matched up very well. Do you want me to take the long or the short version of it? Ozdemir has won 8 of his last 10, has lost to DC and Keely Anunsen, or whoever the fuck that is. Anthony Smith has won 8 of his last 10. His last 5 wins have been by KO or TKO. So I am keeping it short and sweet, and I am going with Anthony Smith with a KO in the first round. Not the second round, but the first round.
Because he's got no time, TJ Tony?
I like that. That was fun.
I thought
he has a heart of a lion. Yeah, that was a funny one. Think.
All right. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you here in the main event of this card coming at us live and direct from Moncton, British Columbia. What you got here, DJ Tony?
Clearly, I have to follow what Marco says, so there's no way I can go for Volkov to mind meld Ozdemir.
Who the fuck is that guy?
But I have to say this, and I'm stealing from John Anik. Anthony Lionheart Smith was 5-6 in his first 11 fights. He's 13-2 in his last 15. What a turnaround. And I think the biggest thing, as you and I were talking, Proteus, is the move up in weight, because he's a large man at 6'4". I think it's really good for him, and I think he's getting better like you and I were chatting. So I'm going with Anthony Lionheart Smith. I'm going second round. TKO, Anthony Lionheart Smith, or Marco will kill me.
Right. He says you're banned if you don't pick Lionheart Smith, so I don't know how this show would be edited if you were going to get banned.
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, I'm not afraid of Marco, but that's my pick.
All right. All right, listen, I'm going to weigh in here next, Marco, and then we'll get you to close out this fight before we go to spotlight fights of the night. I think that this is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Anthony Smith's toughest test. We know that Volkov, the mind meld, I see how I used your joke there, DJ Tony. I thought it was a good one. We know that he hits – thank you, sir. We know how that Volkan hits very hard, and Anthony Smith is going to need to stay out of the range of Volkan. He's going to need to, as we've said previously on this show, use a little restraint. You know, at the beginning, when we started following Anthony Smith, when he was on the show a bunch of times, as we've said, friend of the show, he was very eager to get into a brawl. He was especially down at 185. This is going to be an obviously light heavyweight. So he was cutting weight to get down originally. And then he was getting into firefights with people. He was getting into scraps, and he was getting caught. He cannot afford to do that with Volkan. He needs to take Volkan very, very seriously, because one punch could end this fight from both guys, be honest, okay? But Volkan, you know, is very dangerous. Past greats of the division, you know, he's not fighting Shogun. He's not fighting Hashad this time. He's fighting Amin Dog, you know, number two in the division, and he needs to be very careful. I want to take Anthony Smith as well, and I'm going to take Anthony Smith as well. I think it's going, hopefully Anthony is going to be able to use the distance, work the body, maybe work a little bit of Volkan's legs and the mind melds legs, and stay out of his range. I think maybe Anthony, the first round is going to be fire. The second round hopefully will be Anthony just kind of working his game, and then I'm going to take Smith in the third round. I'm also going to take him by TKO. Marco, what you got?
So we got a friend of the show, Anthony Lionheart Smith. I'm Volkan, live long and prosper of the near. See what I did there? look, it's no secret that in the past I have picked up Volkan of the near. I am a fan of the guy, you know, so full disclosure. And in any other circumstance, I would have picked Volkan, but not today.
Not today.
Not today. Anthony Smith, friend of the show. We have interviewed him a couple of times. A very nice guy, and actually a really, really good fighter. He has been a legend killer of late. You know, he killed the legend of Russian Ebert, forced him to retire, knockout Shogun. So, good for him. Volkan Ozdemir is no joke, you know. He's a tall, rangy fighter. Anthony Smith is not a slouch himself. But I think Smith is a smart fighter, too, and he saw the avenue to beat Volkan by watching the DC fight. Volkan Ozdemir a little bit against the fence, man. Make him tired, because he got a lot of snap and pop on the first round, but we saw him slow down on the second when he got tired, and then Cormier did whatever he wanted on the second round. Do the same blueprint. Make him tired, and I know you got Gaston Forte, Alex. So, Anthony. And on the second round, unleash and knock the motherfucker out. So I'm going to pick Anthony Lionheart Smith by knockout, straight knockout, second round. There you go.
All right.
Is this a three or five round?
Five.
It should be five.
Okay.
Five.
Main events are five rounds.
Okay, gotcha.
Unless you're Bellator.
In the UFC. I was just going to say that. In the UFC.
Yeah. You know, Bellator is going to Bellator, man.
Yeah, Bellator is definitely going to Bellator. But that's fine. Moving along to Spotlight Fight of the Night. DJ Tony, I'm going to go straight to you to lead us off here for the Spotlight Fight of the Night. What you got?
You know what, guys? I'm going to go with Junkie's favorite. You know what? I'm actually going to switch. I'm going to go with Strikeforce. Pam and Mark will tell you this, Proteus, and you know this too. I'm a big Strikeforce guy, Bellforce. How about... So, John Vellante will fight Ed Herman. I'm taking John Vellante via decision. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, that's a good one.
I don't know how feasible that one is. And let's give a shout-out to Ed Herman, but let's also give a shout-out to Ed Herman. Maybe it's, I'm going to go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, with my Spotlight Fight of the Night, because DJ Tony does not want me to do this. I'm going to pick the Sarah Morales versus Talita Bernardo. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the one ladies fight on the card, but of course, Canada's own Sarah Morris. I don't know how you say her name. Anyways, Cheesecake.
Can't do
I'm
it.
Gonna take Cheesecake. I'm going to take Cheesecake by decision. All right, Marco, Spotlight Fight of the Night, please.
So, I'm going to give you two, just because I want to.
Okay, only one is going to count, though. So give us the one that you want to count first, and then give us your second one.
I'll give you the one that's going to count. Mitchell Sirkunov versus Pat Cummins. I think
yep.
it's a choky fast with Mitchell Sirkunov. They tried to put him back on the winning and the winning ways. You know, Pat Cummins is,
yeah.
for better or for worse, he thinks he's better there. He's a little bit too old for the division. And he noticed that, you know, if he can't get you down, he usually folds. So this is a fight to make Mitchell Sirkunov look good. And, you know, use Pat Cummins as a stepping stone. Give me Mitchell Sirkunov by knockout in the second round.
All
and,
right.
My honorable mention, Michael Johnson versus Artur Lobov. Artur Lobov has gone through so many different fight changes in the last couple of months. It's ridiculous. But he's still going to get made by Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson is going to knock him out probably
oh,
later
sure.
in the second round. Yeah, that's it.
All right, Pammy, Marco gave us two spotlight fights of the night. What you got, spotlight fight of the night?
Okay, well, I'm going to make a disclaimer. Anytime yeah. Sean Strickland fights, that is my guy. You all are not allowed to pick him.
We're on notice.
Given that, that is my spotlight fight for the night. I think, again, a lot of these fights, this card doesn't look that exciting when you look at it, but on paper, these are some really good fights, some really, really, really good matchups.
Yeah.
Nordin and Sean Strickland. Nordin has won 6 of his last 10. Sean has won 7 of his last 10. Both of them have lost to Ponzinibbio. And I am actually picking Sean Strickland. I think this is going to go to decision. So Sean Strickland by
okay.
decision. Tarzan.
Okay.
I don't know how to do a Tarzan, y'all, but yeah, make a note.
Yeah. All right, guys. This main card is actually pretty good. There was a lot of good matchups. Of course, the Lobov-Johnson fight, a little bit lopsided. Both
uh-huh.
guys kind of taking this on short notice. But the preliminary card, even on the fight pass card, I mean, the only thing to speak about is the Stevie Ray fight. So look out for that one as well if you're watching the early prelims on thefightpass.com. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and move to the news and notes if we can. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we haven't been able to get to a lot of news. And, of course, a lot of news has broken just even in the past week. Unprecedented hashtag trade between the UFC and ONE Championship is going down. Apparently, we are hearing, I don't know, mainly rumors right now, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have any concrete evidence at this time of recording that anything is been worked out. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson apparently going to be traded to ONE FC for ONE Ben Askren. Marco, I'm going to start with you first since it's your turn. Marco, there's lots to talk about here, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw it to you because I'm sure you've got a lot to say here. Go ahead, Marco. What you got?
There's a lot to unpack on this trade rumor. Well, it's not a rumor. I mean, it was reported by Trey that came out from ESPN. This deal is going to happen. Now,
maybe.
Yeah. To be perfectly clear, every single party involved, Demetrius Johnson, Ben Askren, the UFC, and ONE, they are all agreeing with this. Nobody's being disgruntled about it. Everybody's very happy with this happening. So let's start by that premises. Mike Hume, who is Demetrius Johnson's trainer and coach, is also the vice president of ONE Championship. A conflict of interest? Maybe, maybe not. But it certainly facilitates this whole process. Facilitates this process really, really well. Now, all that said, everybody would have been asked to come to the UFC. Well, we'll get our wage when asked to come to the UFC. But at the expense of what? At the expense of probably the second best fighter on the planet, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Not only because of the fact that I get robbed of the Henry Cejudo versus Demetrius Johnson 3 fight, I get robbed of Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson, I get robbed of the TJ Dillashaw versus Demetrius Johnson that they promised me so many times. We won't be able to see that because we don't know for how long DJ is going to be gone if he ever comes back to the UFC. You know, it's not like he's a young man. He's on his early 30s, but for lighter fighters, you know, they got shorter careers. unless you're mean, you're a favor, you know, but that's another story. That said, man, this is the first piece of the domino to fall, because it's no secret. John Morgan from MMA Junkies has been beating that drum that the UFC for a while have been discussing the doing away with the 125 division. And for me, this is the first domino to fall. Luke Thomas did a really cool exercise the other day, and they saw in the remaining 10 scheduled fights for 2018 in the UFC, of 130 matches that are scheduled, there is only four flyweight fights. That is very telling. You start reading the tea leaves on that. And kind of sucked for Henry Cejudo, you know, because Cejudo just won the belt, and he is going to 135 to fight DJ Dillashaw. When DJ Dillashaw wanted to go down to 125, they thought, you know, never mind, don't do that. We don't need you to win another belt. And even better is, like, if they're going to do away with 135, clear the roster of all these 125ers, and this final, this unicorn 165 might have a space to appear next year. I believe when I see it, they're doing 42 events next year. I mean, they have trouble filling a cost right now, and they get rid of a full division if the reports that we're hearing are correct. And they're getting rid of one of the greatest freaking fighters in the history of the UFC, the guy with the record for most title defenses. God damn it, man. I'm not happy with it. I understand the business aspect of it. I understand that actually Demetrius Johnson wants to do this. I understand Ben Askren wants to do this. I understand the USC is probably cutting his losses with the 125 division. But I was given the understanding that the USC wanted the best fighters in the world on their umbrella. And now they did the same shit with 155 12 years ago. And now 155 is the marquee division in the USC. I've seen it short-sighted. I've seen it really short-sighted. Because the 125 division was going to be their springboard for them, for the Latin American market and the Asian market. And now they're going to give up on it. I am hoping I am wrong. But the tea leaves read that the 125 division coming 2019 is going to be gone. And maybe we'll come back later on, but they're giving up on it. And it's sad. It's just, it's all I have to say for now. You guys say what you have to say, and then we might elaborate.
It's funny because I'm already seeing, you know, like, who's Ben going to fight? And they're already throwing, like, Tyron Woodley and Colby Covington and Stephen Thompson. And even Khabib's been thrown in the mix.
Sure.
And I was thinking, okay, first of all, let's pick a weight class. You can't just, like, throw, you know. And secondly, why does he get a number one contender, number one, number two, say top five contender anyway, you know, just right off the bat? Second thing is, you know, I was reading up, kind of catching up, and people were, one tweet especially kind of, it's like, what the hell's wrong with you? It said, you know, what does this say about Demetrius Johnson, about him leaving and blah, 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 blah. You know, kind of basically making it sound like he was a loser. And I thought, well, this is a guy, I said, that has fought, has attained every goal that he strived for. He has defended the most times of any fighter. You know, he did what he did, set records. He's great at what he does. And I said, maybe he just got tired of Dana's shit.
Thank you, dummies.
He has a life. You know, he's married. He has young children. And there's nowhere that it says that he is contracted to this sport for life. You know, that every blood, sweat, and tear that comes from his body is for the UFC. I mean, this dude, he's young, you know. He has a life. He's wife, kids. He's got a whole life ahead of him. So, you know, if this is, and he sounds very happy about doing this, because I was keeping up with some of his posts. I mean, he's even changed his Twitter tag, you know.
Twitter
so
handle,
yeah. He doesn't sound angry. He doesn't sound bitter. He actually sounds very happy about this move. So, you know, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good. Now, that has me wondering, and I don't know if it's kind of like a little bit of a fantasy, but does this open the door to more fight opening up and fighting in between? So you have UFC, you have Bellator, you have, well, you don't have Strike Force anymore, but say Strike Force, if they were around, you have all these different organizations. Now, does this trade open up the door to, okay, well, let's fight, you know, so-and-so from UFC, and let's you know, have a fight with so-and-so from Bellator kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? But so does that open the door?
My opinion is that it sets a precedent, at least with one championship at the UFC, to do more of these trades. It's like, if you want to see a, what is his name?
Viviano Rich Fernandez. Franklin.
Yeah, Viviano Fernandez is a very high-profile fighter up in one. And if they did a trade for Dimitri Johnson, they might make a trade for Viviano Fernandez at one point to make a fight on the UFC. So it set a precedent, so it might be possible in the future to see more trades like this, at least with one at the UFC, at least with those two. But the precedent has
So we don't, I mean, it could happen. We don't, you know, but I just think it's interesting. And, you know, like I said, I don't think there's any animosity between Demetrius Johnson. I think this is a move that he wanted to make because, truthfully, where does he's accomplished everything. Where does he have to go?
All right. Thank you, Pam. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Marco and Pam had a little back and forth there, and I think they're bringing up good points. I think we seem to be on the right page here. What do you got, DJ Tony? Because I know you've got a little bit of a sore spot when we say trade.
Well, you know what? Like Pam said, it could happen. Marco said it too. It could happen. Just like the WEC is still going to be around in 2018. Let's be honest, guys. I mean, the best way to cut the roster? No, come on. Let's be honest. Is Marco and Pam, are they really watching 1FC at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm not. So
yes, I
no
am.
No offense to
1FC.
As the great Sweet Brown once said.
Nobody got time for that.
That's right. Listen, it's not a bad idea, just in terms of pure business sense, guys, to cut the roster by 52. I get sick of tired of people saying, well, if you don't like the flyweight, you have bad taste in MMA. No, you like what you like, and that's what it is. I don't think it's a bad idea, guys, if you really want to look at it. Let's have certain promotions, like Pam was saying, have certain weights, just like the WEC days, right? Let's have that. Why not just break it up? Marco said 42 fights in the upcoming calendar year. That's way too many cards, guys.
Let me just kind of break this down for both guys, and then I'll get into, you know, kind of talking about the talking points that you guys have brought up. Let's take it from Ben Askren's point of view. Okay, this is very good for Ben Askren. He's you know, been at war with Dana White for quite a while. You know, that sentiment seems to be on fire right now in the MMA landscape. I mean, it's been hot fire in the WWE landscape for, I don't know, decades now, probably. Probably not decades, but since the early 90s, when your boy Stone Cold Steve Austin was doing it. And Ben Askren and Dana White have been at odds. And this is great for Ben Askren. He's finally going to get into the UFC. He's finally going to get his chance. If it goes through, it's going to be great for Ben Askren. And, you know, he can call out whoever he wants, Pam and Marco. He can call out whoever he wants right now. I mean, nothing has happened yet. I mean, I think that he's probably going to fight at 170. I don't know if he's going to want to fight at 155.
He's too big for that. He's too big for 155.
Exactly. So, you know, speaking about fighting Khabib, isn't really in the cards. I mean, so he's going to have to be at 170. He's not going to fight Tyron because they're training partners. I mean, that's he's the wrestling coach for Tyron.
Okay.
And they're very good friends.
Let me interject real quick. I think the Khabib fight is possible that 165 division materializes next year because both Khabib and Askren can actually make 165.
Yeah, like I said, maybe just write that down. Like I said, Marco, maybe just write that down, and we'll get into that later because 165 division is a whole new topic. So let's get into this DJ Ben Askren thing, and then we'll move forward on there because this is what I said. This is why I put so much time for this because I think that even this particular subject is going to take up so much time on this show. Now, let me move on to DJ, okay? Because like you said, Pam, like you said, Marco, like you said, Tony, y'all think that the 125 division is boring. But in Asia, they don't think that. In Asia, they grew up with martial arts. No matter where you grew up, if you grew up in Thailand, if you grew up in Singapore, whether you grew up in Japan, whether you grew up in China, the martial arts are very, very special to you because guaranteed you're probably doing one every morning. So DJ, as you mentioned, Pam, is the most, and Marco, I think you said this as well, the most decorated fighter of all time. Yes, he's at a lighter weight, and yes, as we mentioned on previous shows, there is a caveat that this weight division isn't very popular over here. Tony, please stop texting me. I'm going to get to it. It's not very popular over here. It's more popular in Asia. We've seen this for years and years and years. DJ is not going to get the recognition that he needs over here. He's going to get it in one championship. Yes, Tony, we don't watch it, but you know what? There's a lot of fucking people on that side of the world that are watching it in their particular time zone. As Dana White likes to say, Lord Dana likes to say, that shit ain't for us. And there are hardcore shit-eating wild men that are watching one championship, and you better believe they were excited about seeing Ben Askren over there. You better
Shout
believe
that
they were excited. Excuse me?
Shout-outs to Dan from Oregon.
Yeah, Dan from Oregon, exactly. Yeah, he's the shit-eating wild man, that's for damn sure. And I forgot where I was going, Marco. Thank you very much.
They're watching up there in Asia.
There's an audience for him over there, and there's an appreciation for DJ. Like you said, Pam, he's got nothing to prove. He is the winningest fighter of all time in the UFC. I don't think you're ever going to see 10 belts in front of somebody else ever. Yes, again, as I mentioned earlier on, the caveat that we keep mentioning every time we have to bring up fucking DJ is the fact that the 125 division is not developed. Yes. He's better than everybody else. I get that. And I don't know DJ Tony. I really don't know. I honestly don't know if he's going to get anybody else that's going to be on his level in one championship. But you know what? He's going to get paid, as your boy likes to say on his fucking stupid show. Seriously, who puts a camera right in front of somebody's face? I watched it the other day. What is with the webcam right in front of the people's faces? I don't like it. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, Big Brown. Yeah, I'm talking about him. That's all right. We won't go there. Secondly, for the UFC, this is very, very good for the UFC since, you know, the fighters have been a little bit of unrest. There's a Leslie Smith trying to say that they're employees. And, oh, what if we do a trade? You know, every time something comes up, they move the goalposts further back, DJ Tony. We've been talking about this for years. Almost 400 shows we've been talking about how the UFC and the Empire, they're changing the game. They're trying to make it work for them. See, Marco says, you know, politics happen and, you know, laws change. And I think this is very good for the UFC with regards to the legal troubles that they may have. Trading a big guy to another organization works very well for them. And, of course, thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing the music. Hashtag cue the music. With Rich Franklin being a former UFC fighter, being the president, I believe he is the president of one championship. And as you guys mentioned earlier on, DJ's coach being the vice president of one championship, I don't know, guys. It seems a little on another level. I think it's good for both fighters, though. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to leave it there. Final thoughts from anybody?
So, the one champion has to be making some moves. They get Eddie Alvarez a week ago, you know.
Correct.
For an
yep.
undisclosed, you know, the rumor
cash.
Is $10 million. That is the rumor. I don't know how true is that. Now,
paid.
Johnson is going to get paid, too. I mean, one champion got all these venture capitalists financing $250 million they just secured. So they got a lot of money
Asia.
In pocket. A lot of money in pocket. According to Glory Elbow, they are not making any money on tickets, but they're just investing in the future. I don't care about the fact that they're making profits or not. I care about the fact that TJ is going to, right now, they got the catch, and Demetrius Johnson is going to get paid. He's going to be treated like a king.
Hopefully.
He's going to get a fan base in Asia. And let Demetrius Johnson finally get, like, the millions of dollars he deserves. I don't care if he comes from Singapore, China, Russia. Pay the man. Pay the man because he deserves it. And,
I agree.
Everybody is going to get paid. One champion is making some moves, getting some high-profile fighters. Good for them, you know. And it's a good move for the UFC, too, because they gave Ben Askren, a lot of people in clamor for Ben Askren. Let's see what Ben Askren really has, you know. So everybody's happy.
Absolutely.
Let's move on.
Good point, Marco. Good point, because, you know, Ben Askren has been running his mouth, and as he should be. Like I said at the top, you know, he's been in fighting with Dana White, seems to be the popular thing. Ben Askren's been fighting with Dana White. He's been keeping his name in the media. Pam, final thoughts?
Well, I just want to see how this pans out. I think it's interesting. And, I said, if he's going to get paid, if DJ is going to get paid and get
That's
laid.
Right.
Excuse me,
Tony,
bitch.
Final thoughts?
I mean, we can be in pretend land if we want to be in pretend land, guys. I mean, what if he has 397,000 followers on Twitter? The UFC has 6.9. And you think of a man that's 5'2", 5'3", and weighs 125 pounds is going to get paid? Because not going to happen.
Tony,
we can pretend.
Tony,
it's pretending.
Tony, we're not pretending. What if, say, by public record, secured $255 million of financing? So they got cash on their pockets. They got cash. First of all, Twitter is not a big thing in Singapore or China. They use things like WhatsApp or other social platforms. So that little parameter that you're talking about, that's not really made it in Singapore. Because Twitter is now famous in Singapore. Trust me on that.
Okay, so then let's be real in numbers. Name me one small guy that's been paid.
Okay.
Viviana Fernandez is what Marco said.
Yeah, Viviana Fernandez
really?
Is getting paid $500,000 a fight in Singapore. And having won championships.
How many people get paid $500,000 in the UFC?
The point being is Demetrius Johnson, because of his namesake, and for them to acquire him, they're going to pay the guy because they got $255 million in cash right now available for them. It doesn't matter if they freaking don't make 1 cent on revenue. They got the money right now. That's how they're going to get paid Demetrius Johnson. And the $255 million is public record. The money is there.
You both made your points. I got to take over the show back because we need to move on to another topic. Again, like I said, guys, we don't have enough time to talk about the news because there's just so much that we want to talk about because we're so passionate. But I want to move on to the DC versus Derek Lewis fight that's going to happen 1 week. Hello. 1 week from Saturday in MSG. And I want to throw to you, Tony, and I want to throw to you and go, and I want to propose the question to you. Is this main event actually going to happen? Is the New York Commission going to get in the way yet again and not allow either of these fighters who clearly, you know, DC has been on the record saying his hand's still messed up, Derek Lewis being on the record, obviously getting a medical suspension, which will obviously take him past, you know, the date of this event. So, Tony, let's throw to you. Is this fight going to actually happen?
You know, this has all the makings of DC fighting Anderson Silva again. Do you remember that, how that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Derek Lewis is still not medically cleared. DC's hand is broken. You think he's going to be able to be at 100%? I don't see UFC 230. I mean, Hockle's already out, right? David
Hockle.
Branch is now fighting Jared Cannonier. And now I'm pretty sure the Lewis Cormier fight is going to fall out. This card, aside from Brunson versus Adesanya, I don't see this card hanging together.
Well, we talked about the poor fight making that was the Valentina Shevchenko, not Montagna. Please help me, Tony or Marco.
Sajara Eubanks?
Joanna?
Yeah, Eubanks. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was not going to sell anything, right? So they had to put something – we talked about this in previous shows. They had to put something at the top of this card that would, you know, sell tickets. Whether or not it's actually going to happen, they still needed to put butts in the seats. And, I mean, Derek Lewis, who is very hot right now because his, obviously his nuts are on fire. And, you know, DC, who is the champ. Let me throw this to you, Marco, real quickly. If this fight goes down, and DC loses, and he's going as far as we know at this time, as soon as Jones versus Gustafson 2 goes off, DC is going to be stripped of that light heavyweight belt. What if DC loses to Derek Lewis and gets knocked out? Well, what does that do to DC stock? What does that do against to the DC Brock Lesnar fight?
Okay, so first of all, in the event that DC loses, he will not, and I tell you right now, he will not get a strip of that light heavyweight championship. That other fight will suddenly become an interim championship because DC himself said so on his interview. It's like, I will defend my light heavyweight champion if I lose his belt, the heavyweight championship. So, yeah, he ain't going anywhere. He's not going to go down.
Think because he put his dick out on the line because he's taking this heavyweight fight against Derek Lewis that he's going to be able to retain that?
Thank you,
DJ Tony.
His COVID is because he's the champ. He is the champion of two belts right now. All he has to say after he loses his fight is like, I will defend my light heavyweight champion, and that fight with Gustafsson and John and Jones becomes an interim.
So the question is,
what's up?
Marco, the question is, do you think this fight happens?
I think it will.
Do you think that the New York Commission is going to allow it to happen?
I'm going to try take the word of the fighters. You know, famously, Derek Lewis' suspension was pulled back 1 week because, you know, they never had the commission play ball.
And Michael Bisping?
They never had the commission play ball. He cleared his medical, and they pulled his suspension instead of 1 month for 3 weeks. So technically, he's already clear to fight. DC says that his hand is actually not broken. He was jammed. The x-ray came out, you know, negative. So there is no fracture. And that should be enough for the Athletic Commission to. I'm going to be optimistic. Too much bad shit has happened to this card already, you know, with not having a main event and then having a main event and then pulling the main event and then Rockhold getting hurt. This card has been so cursed that I think the curse has stopped now. I'm very positive. I think the New York State Commission, as stupid as they are, they're going to realize that, you know, they either clear the fight or the whole fight is going to be canceled. I mean, they're already having trouble selling tickets. Luke Thomas on their show, they pull the ticket sale availability for Madison Square Garden as of Monday. There were still thousands of ticket seats available. Thousands of seats available on the whole stadium. So this card is not doing so hot, man. And if the main event falls out, I tell you, they might as well just pull the whole card because then the card is just not working.
I know. Okay, so Pam, we've talked about pay-per-view. We've talked about, you know, the UFC doing too many pay-per-views. It brings another conversation because the UFC is going to go to a streaming service, and we've seen that Bellator is on a streaming service, and this brings up a whole other conversation. But I want you to comment. Do you think the DC Derek Lewis fight goes down next week?
You know what? I don't know because I was watching a UFC tonight, and Derek Lewis was on there, and he was saying that he's okay to fight. But what I don't, you know, get was just not 3 weeks ago or however, whenever his balls were hot. He was saying that he wasn't in a position to take a championship fight. He said, I don't have the cardio. I'm not ready. I'm not even about trying to get that kind of a fight. And then all of a sudden, fight's happening. So, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. If it does, it's a win-win for both of them.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you 100%.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know because you've got him saying that he's cool, he's ready to fight, and then you've got somebody, you know, saying, oh, they're not cleared. So who knows? I don't know.
Tony, let's throw to the voice of reason here. Let's throw to you and give us the lowdown here, because, you know, the New York Commission, as we've said on this show numerous times in the 2 years that we've been doing this show, the New York Commission is notoriously not willing to do things that they feel bad about, except, of course, lessening Michael Bisping's suspension so that he can't fight, or so they could fight and have a quick turnaround to save a card. I mean, again, we're seeing it here. Maybe this card needed to be saved. What are your thoughts here? Do you think this fight goes down?
We already spoke on this.
On
that was the first one you asked.
Oh, am I running back to you again? So it's me then.
Yeah.
My apologies. Listen, guys, I don't know. I don't know if this fight's going to happen. You know, as I've mentioned and I've tried to allude to as I've been speaking to you guys, New York is very they wouldn't let Rashad Evans fight because of some kind of MRI mishap. You know, they wouldn't let someone fight because they had breast implants. You know,
yeah,
and then that was in Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, you all know who I'm speaking about. So I didn't want to bring too much shade on that. But it's going to be very interesting to see if both of these guys get cleared. And like you guys have mentioned, it's a very big show. It's a lot of money for the state of New York. You know, maybe money talks. It might be another example of how money does talk. And, you know, like I said, you know, Michael Bisping somehow, you know, had his medical suspension reduced so that he could fight and turn around and fight in Macau against, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know, guys. I think that this fight is in jeopardy. I really do. I think that perhaps the UFC has put this up here, the DC Derek Lewis fight, to sell tickets. You know, like Marco said, this fight's not selling. No one's interested in that card. And like I said earlier on, the previous main event had a huge blowback on Twitter, social medias. No one wanted to see that fight. Eubanks doesn't deserve a title shot at this point, in my opinion. She had her chance. She missed weight. Now it's moved on. We have to legitimize that division if we're going to do it. I'm going to go out on a limb here, guys, and say this fight does not happen. And this particular event bombs very hard for the UFC and the Empire, because I'm going to bring it back to what I've been saying the whole time. We have people in charge, and this brings it back to what I said when Vegas Ford told me that, you know, the Empire is probably going to run the UFC into the ground, and then, you know, the Fertitta brothers will come back and bring this thing back to life again. And maybe that does happen, guys. Okay. DJ Tony, do we have time to go into one last thing or no?
Let's do it.
Okay. So John Jones is coming back, ladies and gentlemen. We have not talked about this yet. John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson 2. Now, as we were just also mentioning in the previous round, DC and John Jones have a heated rivalry at heavyweight, DC being the champion and John Jones having been stripped. Now, John Jones versus Gustafsson 2. John Jones, you know, has had less time off than Gustafsson. Do you guys think that this fight is going to be as competitive as it could be, or do you think that maybe we get John Jones versus DC 3 heavyweight or light heavyweight? Go, Marco.
So everybody knows that, you know, even though the first fight was fucking awesome, John Jones was fucking Floyd 4 lines of cocaine and biting his ass off before the fight. He didn't take it seriously. He didn't really train for that fight, and he still managed to win the fight. Now, if we are to believe John Jones, we got a completely focused and laser-focused guy that is training his ass off and is not taking Gustafsson lightly. I don't think this fight is going to even going to be close. But, you know, that is just me being a John Jones fan, because he is the best fighter we ever seen in the octagon. I'm talking about the fighting ability. I'm not talking about the man. I think the fight's going to happen. I think the freaking, you know, we're going to make our patient when it comes. Good for Joe Johnson. We've been waiting for this guy to come back since forever. And like you say, he has been away from the octagon a shorter time than Gustafsson. Gustafsson is too injury prone. And that guy had fought less of, like, almost as much as freaking John Johnson in 2014, like three or four times, you know. So, no, if anything, Gustafsson is going to have more ring rolls than John Jones. It's going to be interesting to see. He's going to cap the year off with probably a very, very successful pay-per-view. You know, well, nobody's going to top off McGregor Khabib, $2.5 million. That was amazing. The fifth best freaking pay-per-view ever on anything, like in combat sports or anything. So that said something for the UFC. This probably going to do a million buys, and everybody's going to be happy. And the UFC, you know, is going to fight to live another day with huge revenues at the last quarter of the year with the Khabib Nurmagomedov Conor fight, and then the Gustafsson freaking John Jones fights at the very end. So that's what I got to say about that.
You know what? I would have 100% been in favor of them putting the John Jones Gustafsson fight back in Toronto. It just seemed like it would have been poetic justice, you know, put it back where the first one happened, the exact same arena, everything's the same, run it back. But no, John Jones is a big star. He deserves to be on that New Year's Eve card. I 100% agree. It's a big fight. And like you said, Marco, if Gustafsson happens to...
Ortega on Toronto, man, and then you're getting Shevchenko, Jacek. Don't be so greedy, man. You're getting two
I'm
amazing
going to
fights.
The card. I've bought tickets. I actually bought tickets.
I am so jealous.
I'm going.
I am so jealous. It's an amazing card. Toronto, they did you right this time. You don't got no scrubs in there. That is an amazing card.
Yeah, no, it's a great card, but I'm just saying I'm being greedy in this particular... in this particular essence here, I'm being a little bit greedy. I would have liked to, because I attended the Jones Gustafsson one. I attended all of the events, and then it just would have been good for me. I'm just being a greedy. I think that all of these events are kind of leading us to another Jones versus DC fight. The Brock Lesnar talk has really quieted down, Pam. I don't really know if that's something that is viable in the future, because we have this natural rivalry in MMA. We have DC versus John Jones, and you know the back and forth, you know the shoe throwing event, you know the everything. So I think that in the end, I think John Jones versus DC
pussy?
Is, yeah, exactly. Are you still there, pussy? I think that that's something that needs to happen. And I think that we no longer need the Brock Lesnar. What do you think, Pam?
Yawn. Oh, you know what? I didn't think we needed Brock Lesnar in the first place, but
right.
You know what? I'm not excited for John Jones. I don't care for him.
Okay, so listen, let me just interject here real quickly. I
okay.
know that we all have our own ideas about John Jones as a person, but let's just try and keep it on fighting, okay? Are you not excited about that fight, DC versus John Jones 3?
No, I'm really not, because then we're going to have what?
Okay.
4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 till
only if DC
wins. No, but that's the point. So then if he wins, then Jones is going to want a rematch. So they're going to rematch. It's just like back to me, it's the same as McGregor Diaz 3. Okay, I'm over that. It's not the same thing,
because John Jones has won twice.
It's not my turn to talk. It's my turn to talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Today.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, but to me, it is the same thing. It's the same. You know, let's get some new blood in there, you know, get in there and fight. You know, I don't want to see the same fights over and over and over. This isn't Bellator, you know. Oh, what? Oh, close that door. You know, so really, I'm really not excited, you know, because I was there. I had tickets when he made his comeback against OSP, you know, and went all five rounds, you know. OSP went all five rounds then with the broken arm. So, I don't know, ring rust. Both of them have ring rust. So, but am I going to watch? Yeah, I'm going to watch because I'm a fight junkie. But if, I don't know, it's not a big deal to me. I mean, I'm not like getting my panties wet about this fight. Am I going to watch it? Yeah. Is it making my panties wet? No. The end.
Okay. Does John, does DC versus Brock Lesnar make your panties wet?
Oh my God. Not even. That makes me want to throw a shoe at somebody. I think that to me, that's like the biggest joke right there. You know, him walking out there like Yosemite Sam with his pants tucked in his boots. No, I think that's silliness. That's silliness. That's like, to me, it's like a comedy show. You know?
All right, guys.
Just in defense of Brock Lesnar, the guy did became the heavyweight champion. He beat Randy Couture. He beat Frank Mir. He beat Shane Carwin. Those are no scraps, man. So,
You don't need to
also,
stick up for him. We know.
I wanted to interject real quick, too. And we're talking about the DC fight. That's even DC and Brock Lesnar, but that's even if what's his name can be is
right.
Head free, you know, is even
right.
Gonna you know make it past
well, we USADA. We have this date for Daniel Cormier in March, right? Mm-hmm. So what this mm-hmm. is why I'm trying to say, like, do we even think that that's even possible now that you know DC is apparently going to fight Derek Lewis?
And so what happens if
we
he
also,
gets hurt, you know, and.
Exactly. What if happens
if he breaks his? Okay, so what happens if he re-breaks his hand?
Right. So DC is tying up two divisions right now. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing as Conor McGregor tying up two divisions. Okay. So DC is not going to go down as Tony has said.
Yeah, but at least
famously.
DC fights.
But he's not going to go back down to light heavyweight when he can get heavyweight fights. As long as Cain Velasquez is not in. The picture of the heavyweight division, I don't think Daniel Cormier should ever go back down to light heavyweight. And I think everybody
reason,
is
but
in
he's
agreement.
He's back in training. Yeah. He is
the
back in training.
The only reason Daniel Cormier is going to go back to light heavyweight if he's Derek Lewis by some out of God lands a right hand and knock him out. Because if he loses the belt this week, next weekend, he will have no option but to go back to light heavyweight to the side. That's the only reason.
Yep.
Otherwise,
no Popeyes.
Yeah.
I say strip everybody and let them start over.
Okay, now that is radical. No,
all right, guys. Listen, we're getting out of control right now, so let's go ahead and take this opportunity to shut this show down. Of course, everyone enjoy UFC Fight Night 138, Volkan versus Smith, this weekend.
Before you finish... Big shout out to the PFL this weekend. Ray Cooper III is the freaking man. I can't wait to see that kid on the UFC because he is awesome.
Hashtag the PFL.
I totally
minute.
Missed it this week. Yeah, I totally missed it this week.
Are we done with the PFL minute?
Oh.
We're done with the PFL 30 seconds, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marco, for weighing in on the PFL. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We are here to promote UFC Fight Night 138, Volkan versus Smith, from the beautiful Avinour Center in Moncton, British Columbia. Check it out. It's not on pay-per-view. Let's throw to Pam. You got any guilty pleasures
yep.
this week, Pam? You got a Twitter follow of the week. What you got?
No Twitter follow, but I'm still down with my 90-day fiance. And then you know what? Real quick, I started watching this show, and I forgot what it's called. And it's a documentary, and I think it's on Netflix. And it's about this guy that travels to different countries and checks out the different fight styles of these different countries.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Let me just look it up. You keep talking.
Yeah, I couldn't remember, but. Anyway, so I got to the first three episodes, and it was really good. So if I can freaking remember what the name of it is, I'm going to recommend it.
It's got a big muscular guy. Fight something. Yeah, you're right. Fight something.
Fight
look
Kingdom
it up on,
or Fight World
up.
Or...
Yeah. Look
Do you
it
know
up
what
on
I'm
Netflix.
Talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but I did not, bookmarked it. So
check it out. Yeah, you need to check
it out.
It's really good.
Fight something.
Really
it's got
good.
A really big muscular guy with his back on the picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. DJ Tony, you got a guilty pleasure or you got a Twitter follow of the week?
My Twitter follow of the week should be no surprise, you guys. At Andy the Crazian One. So ANDTHECRASIAN, the number one. Andy Wynn. Shout out to Andy Wynn. And my guilty pleasure, how about Joe Hogan? Strange Time. That's pretty funny, guys. So shout out to Joe Hogan.
Super funny. Yeah, the Joe Hogan's new episode, new special is pretty funny. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I had a good laugh to it. I'm once again going to shout out at All Things Coheed. Their last podcast was a live podcast. It came out last Friday. I know I've probably shouted it out already, but your boy, thanks to Luke Thomas for putting that in my mind, your boy was on the show. If y'all want to check me out, I'm right near the end of the show. If you want to hear more of my voice, and I know that you do, because it's not annoying at all. I find it annoying. Check it out at All Things Coheed. Marco, get us out of here. Guilty pleasure, Twitter follow of the week. Close this show down. What you got?
Got two guilty pleasures. So listening to a new podcast called Astonishing Legends. Two dudes that are very professional on the podcast. Editing, they both got backgrounds on broadcasting. I'm into the paranormal. I'm into the paranormal, and listening to the paranormal podcast with I think they recommended this podcast. It's a really good podcast, really well produced. So I checked Astonishing Legends, and on Netflix, I binge watched the whole third season of Daredevil. By far the best Daredevil of the whole series. they pick up right what the Defenders ended. Go check Daredevil. You really like it. They went deep into the characters. Kingpin, Wilson Fisk is the freaking best bad guy of the whole freaking series. Check Daredevil out. So follow Produce at Produce. Follow Tony at IMDJ Tony. Follow Pama Pandora Box. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review as Knucklehead. Find us on iTunes. Leave a comment. Constructive criticism. Check out the fights this weekend. Go and root for our homeboy, Anthony Lionheart Smith. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you next week. So enjoy the fights.
And just like that, Pemmy,
we are out of here. Bye, y'all.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.